Okay, good evening everyone, and we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. We have done about 20 messages now from 1 John, and probably there will be another 8 or 10, I guess. So we're going to begin with a word of prayer, so let's bow for some prayer. Lord, we thank you this evening, and we thank you that we can meet together like this. We thank you that you have given us an amazing opportunity to understand your word, because you have given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you also, Lord, that you have given us your word, which is forever settled in heaven, in Psalm 119 and verse 89. We do pray tonight, Lord, that you will open our hearts to understand your truth. We pray that you will open our eyes and ears, spiritually speaking, to see and hear everything that you prepared for us. God, you know the thoughts that we have, you know the problems that we battle, you know the questions that we have, Lord. We pray that you will touch us tonight, God, in a special way. God, we have so many needs, and some of them are genuine, some of them are what we think are needs, but they are not really. But there are also needs that we have that we don't even know about, and you're here to meet also them, God. So whatever our real needs are tonight, God, we just pray that you will speak to us and minister to us in a special way. Thank you in your precious name. Amen. Okay, we're going to read the first 6 verses of the 4th chapter of 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, the first 2 verses are dealing with the discerning of spirits. And it says here that we are to test the spirits. And the word for testing here is dokimazo in the Greek, which is a term, or a word rather, that it was used to see if a coin was real, you know, if it was, you know, if it would stand the test, if you were, you know, heating it up or beating on it or whatever, if it was standing the test, dokimazo. And it's speaking of, in the same sense here, that we are to test the spirits. Are they real? Many people think, unfortunately, that anything that is supernatural must be of God. So they think that, you know, if there is a healing taking place, God is there. They think that if a miracle is being performed, it must be God. But not so. There is a spirit world, and the demons, Satan and his demons, are definitely very much capable of performing miracles, of healing people, and doing all kinds of supernatural things. And we have to be very careful. The evidence of power in our lives is not necessarily a sign that we're dealing with God. It could be the very opposite. And we have to be very, very careful about these things. Now, we read in the Bible that when the apostles were around, they performed great miracles. And it says that their message was confirmed through these miracles. Now, some people have taken that a little further, and they say that the same miracles that the apostles who are performing. We are also to perform today. Now, we have to be careful about that too, because we do believe in miracles. We do believe in a God who wants to intervene in our lives. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, in the Bible, there are only three times when we see that God is performing a lot of miracles. One is during the time of Moses, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. And the message of Moses was confirmed by these miracles. He went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Well, why, you know, well, because," and he performed a miracle. Say, okay, so the one who gave them the message, the same God, is now going to perform a miracle. And remember how the people that were around Pharaoh, they were also able to counterfeit these miracles, but only to a degree. They came to a certain point, and at that point, they say, "We cannot do this. This is the finger of God." So obviously, Satan and his demons cannot do all things that God can do, because he's all-powerful. He's omnipotent, for a nice word for saying that he's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. So he can do all things. Satan can only do certain things, but he can do a lot more than we can. And I tell you, in these last days, this is one of the major deceptions that we have. Miracles, signs, wonders, people performing them. But when we read Matthew 7, verses 16 to 23, it says that we should know them by their fruit. It actually speaks of people who have performed miracles. And on that day, meaning the day of judgment, God will tell these people and say that, "I never knew you. I never knew you." Meaning that they were not even saved. But something, meaning Satan and his demons, were working in them and through them. And they were able to perform miracles. And these miracles deceived people. There has been, and I don't want to stay too long on this subject, but I'm just saying this, there was one famous faith healer who, I guess he's still around, but you know, he claimed all kinds of miracles. There was one man on his staff who was himself, if I remember correctly, a medical doctor. And he was actually a follower of this man, so to speak, a disciple of his. And he decided to, in order to prove this thing, I mean, he did it from a positive point of view. He decided to follow up all these people who had been healed. And what he found out was quite scary, because when they had been healed for a while, many times they actually got the same problem back, and sometimes worse problems. And it was amazing when he discovered these things, that these healings were not really genuine. He got so shocked, and he said, "I got to expose this thing." So he started out being very positive, and he wanted to say, "Well, look at all these miracles, and I'm gonna show people that we can prove that they were real." But after a while, he found out that they were not. I'm not saying that all miracles are like that. We do believe in healings. We have seen people be healed. We pray for healings, all kinds of healings, physical ones, mental ones, emotional ones. We do believe in miracles, all kinds of miracles, you know, different categories. Don't get me wrong, but he's saying here, we are to test the spirits. Dokimatsu. Do they stand the test? Can they be tested? If there is a miracle, yes, it can be followed up. Yes, we can check it out. Now, sometimes when people, you know, they want to argue with me about the Bible or the you know, how true is Christianity and all these things, I say, "I don't have anything to hide. I give you something, and you go and find out. Mm-hmm. You go and test this thing." Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, but so many people, they have not done that. They have just heard from somebody that this book is just a fairy tale. And then
they thought, oh, yeah, you know, the Bible, you know, there's nothing in it there, you know, whatever, you know, it's been rewritten, there's been this and that. They have heard some. I said, are you sure? You know, and I give you something, and you go and find out.
But, you know, many times people are not even interested. They don't even want it to be true. You know, they just, well, whatever. So we need to discern the spirits. And just because something is supernatural, it does not mean that it is God acting. It could be the enemy. So how do we know then? Well, in verse 2, it says here, by this you know the Spirit of God. Not that somebody is performing miracles in his name. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, the word for confess here is the same Greek word that we have mentioned earlier in this series, homologeo, which means thinking the same thing or agreeing with something. So in other words, every spirit that agrees with God and agrees with the Bible that Jesus Christ is actually the Son of God, and not just any son, but the Son. In John 1:18, it says that he is the unique Son, the only begotten. And this speaks of his incarnation, that God actually became a man in Jesus Christ. And it's so interesting to see, I mean, in this house, there is a family, and they are part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we know not just them, but there are many other groups out there. And they do not believe that Jesus Christ was the second or is the second person of the Trinity. They say that he's an angel, he's a spirit, he's maybe God, but not a man. They say he's a man, but not God. And this is the true test. If he is confessing that the incarnation, that God became a man in Jesus Christ, that is the sign. This is how we know that this person, this message, this ministry, whatever it is of God. If they're wrong in that area, they're probably wrong in many other areas too. But the interesting thing is that if you're going to poison a rat, you want to put that poison into good food. Just mix it with a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of poison so that the rat thinks that this is the real thing. And it will eat it and enjoy it, but then the poison is in there. And this is exactly how Satan wants to do. I mean, very seldom Satan will use like these devil worshippers or anything. It's people will kind of discern that. They you know, a few people will go down that route, but most people, you know, they. So what does he do? He creates religion. He creates this good things, and people see it, you know, and wow, and I tell you, so many people say, oh yeah, this group or they, you know, they do good things for humanity. We like it, you know. They have good values. They have this and they have that. Yes, but do they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do they believe that God became a man in Jesus Christ? Do they believe the incarnation? That's the question. And why is that so special? And why is it so difficult to believe? Because it is the truth. You know, I mean, I'm always so amazed by the fact that people always react to the truth. You know, you can sit there and talk about almost anything, and it will not really upset people. You know, they might have a different opinion, they might talk about it or argue or discuss or whatever. But when you say that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God, that God became a man in Jesus Christ, and he went to the cross, he died for our sins, and he's the only way to God. He's the only way, or the only name given to us by which we can be saved in Acts 4:12. When we say that, there is a reaction. There is a reaction. Some people are ready and ripe, and they will receive it. They will say, yes, I believe, you know, and they get saved. Maybe some others, like in the book of Acts, they will say, okay, all right, we'll hear you again. But many will say, no, we don't want to hear anything about this, you know, and they will react against it violently, like they did in the case of Stephen. You know, when he spoke the truth, it says that they were screaming and like putting their fingers in their ears, you know, we don't want to hear this message, because it was a convicting message. And this is what is so interesting, you know, that, you know, if we have this spirit, if this is our message, that God became a man in Jesus Christ, if we have that message, it will cause a reaction wherever we go. I don't care what culture, what country, what age you're living in, it will cause a reaction, because it is against this world system. It's against all these things, and therefore it will cause a reaction. So, and in verse 3 here, I think I read it already. No, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, Antichrist, you know, we always get that question, like, who is the Antichrist? Do you know who he is? No, I don't know. And I don't want to know either, because if I will know who he is, it's possible that I miss the rapture. Because we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, which means that we are going to be caught up before the manifestation of the Antichrist. So in that sense, I want to know. Because maybe it's like, oh, I was left behind. I don't want to be that. So this is the thing that we don't know. But there will be the Antichrist, meaning one person who will gain control over the entire world because of the technology that we now have, because of the political movement that we are now witnessing, meaning that the world is coming together to be one, you know. And it's going to take some time. We don't know how long, but it's going to happen probably pretty soon. It's in a sense scary, but in another sense it's also encouraging, because we know that we're getting closer to that time when we're going to be with the Lord. So we are discerning the Spirit. There is the Antichrist, but there are also Antichrists, meaning that there are certain evil persons who have been manifested throughout history, and they have gained control over a country, over an army, over whatever, and they have been able to establish an evil system, but it has not yet been time. So that evil system, through the sovereignty of God, has been destroyed in due time, and they have not succeeded in their plans. But it's the same spirit, and it's just kind of like a little forewarning that he's coming. But then you have the spirit of Antichrist, which means that thinking is out there already. It's all around us. And we know it. There are many people who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And they are violently opposed to it when you say it. And it's the spirit of Antichrist. So the spirit of Antichrist is already here. And the spirit of Antichrist has empowered certain individuals in history to manifest these things in a very special way. You know, I mean, we know countries that for generations, in some cases, have been under a certain system where the gospel has not been allowed to be preached and so on. But eventually God will, you know, bring it down, and there will be an opening. I mean, we saw it in the Soviet Union. We have seen it in many other countries. We are praying, hoping, expecting North Korea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, many other countries to do the same thing. It's like sooner or later, you know, when we pray, something will happen. And so we are discerning the spirits, and we are looking for those who are confessing Jesus Christ. We are not impressed by the miracles. If somebody is, you know, or if they are having this confession that Jesus Christ is actually God in the flesh, then yes, maybe there will be miracles there too, and we should not deny them. We should not, you know, by any means go against them, but we should be very, very careful. Now, number two here is that we are, number one was discerning the spirits, number two is depending on Him. And this is verses 4 and 5. You are of God and children and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Wow, overcoming it. I mean, this is the Greek word nikaio, and to means to subdue or conquer or prevail. And you know the tennis shoes that are called Nike, it comes from this world. You know, we are conquerors when we wear them. We can walk anywhere. We can run. We can do these things. It's actually taken from that word nikaio, and it means to overcome. And we are overcomers because He who lives in us, He who dwells in us, meaning the Holy Spirit, is greater than He is in the world. So there is the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, which is Satan, and he is inspiring Antichrist or Antichrists, meaning, you know, in plural, that and this spirit is all over the world. But we are overcoming this spirit through Him who is in us. And this is amazing. I mean, you know, what we have, it's quite remarkable. We cannot even begin to understand really who we are in Christ. It is absolutely fantastic what God has made us to be. You know, in Him, I mean, we cannot be touched. Yes, we can in our experience if we willfully are disobedient, if we willfully, you know, live in disobedience. Yes, it can happen that mentally, emotionally, experientially, He will gain control over our lives. That's very real. But as far as our position goes, it can never, ever happen. And it doesn't have to happen in our experience either. There is a provision made. There is a provision for us to be overcomers because He is in us. And you know, we need to have the right confession. We need to agree with God about His finished work. We need to agree with God about what He has done for us. And when we do so, we are overcomers. And then in verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Mm-hmm. Three things. They are of the world. That's, the world is their source. And therefore they speak of the world. In other words, we have a source, and that's what we're going to confess. And the world, they only have one source. They only have the cosmos. That's their source, the world system. So they cannot say anything else. They cannot speak anything else. They cannot confess anything else. That's all they have. They have a sin nature, and that's it. But for us, we have two sources that we can draw from. One is the same as they have, the world. Yes, it's possible for us to live in the flesh, to have an earthly, dusty confession, or we can draw from God Himself because He is in us. We are born again, and the Spirit of God has moved in to our lives, and is dwelling in us permanently. He has sealed us. We've been joined with his Spirit in 1 Corinthians 6:17. So he is there. And if I receive from him, I have an advantage, a major one. And my confession of faith will absolutely conquer everything that Satan is trying to do in my life and in my surrounding. It's a promise. It might not look like that right now because, you know, how do I know? I can't. We want to be in control, but we are not. But we do know that God is at work. And if I have the right confession, and I don't mean that we manipulate God by saying certain things. Okay, I said, I confess something by faith now, God. Now you force to act on it. I don't mean that. I don't mean that type of theology. I just mean that if we have that confession that we are in ourselves helpless, but we are in him fully capable of being overcomers. If we have that confession, he will do it. It says here also in verse 5 that the world hears them. The world has a message. And who is listening to this message? Well, the world. They love it. And I'm just thinking like how it's like it's out there. The entertainment, you know, the everything that is out there. And the world is listening to it. And the world is receiving it. And this system has a lot of good things in it. It has all kinds of good stuff, you know, available. But it is lacking something. And what is it lacking? It's lacking the right confession. It's lacking the homologeo. It does not agree with the Bible. It does not agree with what God has said, that God has sent his son Jesus Christ into this world. God became a man. And it's through this incarnation only that the world can be saved. And the world does not want to hear that. Because the world says, oh, we are doing fine. Maybe not perfect, but we're improving. We are learning. And whatever we have not yet conquered, whatever we have not yet been able to manage, we will eventually. But God says, no, you are heading in the wrong direction. And if you don't change, that's why when we use the word repent, it actually means to turn around 180 degrees. Because the world is heading in a certain direction, and it's away from God. And we are saying the same thing. You know, or sorry, we are doing the same thing until we repent, meaning that we are changing 180 degrees. And we are moving back to God. So, earthly messengers, and it's quite interesting, you know, to think about this world, that there's another word in the Greek, not just cosmos, but there's another word that is translated world in the Bible. It's aeon. And aeon, we find it in Romans 12:2, for example. It's nothing to do with the physical creation or the people populating the earth, but it rather means the present world system. And it's like a matrix under Satan's power and in opposition to God and his plan and purposes. And let me just give you a few things about this system. It is an evil system, Galatians 1:4. It's evil. You know, don't be deceived when we see all the good things in the world. I don't care what people do in this world. I don't care how much good they perform. It can still be evil. You know, human good can be evil. Because sometimes it's more deceptive, actually, than the bad things. The bad things can be discerned, but the good things are very deceptive. So Satan loves to empower people to do good things as long as they don't have this confession that God became a man in Jesus Christ. And if they don't have that, they don't have anything. It's the world system. And it has wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says that it has wisdom. Same thing in James 3:15. It speaks about an earthly wisdom. And, you know, I mean, can you imagine how much knowledge this world has because of the ability to store information and so on these days? You know, we have an incredible, we have like access to so much wisdom. But be careful. What kind of wisdom is it? What kind of wisdom? We are not looking for wisdom of this world or from this world. We are looking for wisdom that comes from God, from His Word. It also has norms and standards. Norms and standards in 1 Corinthians 3:18. It's interesting how we are accused sometimes, you know, as believers, that, you know, we are more, you know, morality, and, you know, you always try to condemn us by something. But the world has norms and standards too. I mean, I don't think we have less law, rules, regulations now than we used to have. It's just that they're a little bit different. The world certainly has norms and standards. And, you know, sometimes they can be good, they can be moral, they can be religious, but they're not going to save people. They're not going to save people. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He is God incarnated. And the spirit of Antichrist will not confess that. And then this system has earthly and spiritual rulers. Earthly and spiritual rulers. 1 Corinthians 2:6 and Ephesians 6:12 speaks about this spiritual warfare. Satan and the demons have an army. You know, they're very, very organized. Unbelievably organized. And we think that they're just out there trying to do something and stir something up, and there's like a very chaotic system. But the Bible actually says that it is like a very disciplined army, with a general, and then officers, and then what do you call privates, you know, at the bottom. I mean, you have the entire rank there, you know, all the different levels of authority, and it's very, very well organized, and it's out there to deceive us. It's out there to attack us. It's out there to bring us away from God, or take us away from God. And that brings us to the last, third and last point tonight, declaring the truth. Declaring the truth, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the word for error here is plane, and this is where we mentioned this earlier, I believe, but it's the word actually where we get the word planet from. Because a planet originally was labeled or called a wandering star, you know, something that is moving around. And it's used here because, you know, how a planet, it has it like an orbit, you know, it goes like this. And it's the same thing. It's like when we are deceived, we are taking off like this, and we're just moving around, you know, we're like wandering stars, and it's amazing, and we are declaring the truth here. We are declaring this thing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is God in human form, fully God, fully man. And only in this truth do we find salvation. And only when a person, church, ministry, whatever it is, believe this thing and agree with this thing, do we know that it's not the spirit of Antichrist. Any other spirit in this world, whatever they do, good or bad, if they do not confess this thing, it's the spirit of Antichrist. They say, but I don't like that, because it's like they're good people and they're bad people, and they're, you know, they're gray areas. Don't try to give me this thing that, you know, there is like, of course there's some music is neutral and this is the, you know, and this. But wait a minute. There are only two kingdoms. anything in this world that we do or have or whatever, it's inspired by one or the other kingdom. So don't think that we can, live in between, being neutral, I'm over here, but I'm okay here in the middle, I'm not going to be too serious with God, but I'm not going to really let Satan deceive me either. But wait a minute, there is no middle ground. We like to think that way, but it isn't. We have to choose side. We have to decide whether we're going to follow him or not. So three things tonight. Discerning the spirits, we are to do so. We are to test them, whether they confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that God came in the flesh. And we are depending on him. And because of that, we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. And he who lives in us, meaning the Holy Spirit, is actually greater than he who is in the world. And we have a message, and that message is not always very popular. It's not popular at all, actually, in this world. But the world has a message. It has earthly messengers, and they are quite popular in the world. But this is not what we are following. And then finally, we are declaring the truth. We do not allow the enemy to deceive us and take us for a ride. being like, have a wandering mind, just moving around like this. And I tell you, this world is so full of thoughts, opinions, speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations, probably more so now than in any other age or time before us. And it's absolutely impossible to figure out this world. It's absolutely impossible. And the only way life will make sense is to be filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God knows all things. And if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I will know everything that I need to know. And if there is something I don't know, it's because I don't need to know it. But there is a possibility to do that. And there is an atmosphere out there that wants to swallow us, And it's offering us all kinds of nice food, spiritually speaking, that we can eat or even inhale. And it's real and it's very effective, and we cannot withstand it. We cannot fight back unless we recognize that the provision is not our own strength, our own willpower, but it's him dwelling in us, and he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you, God, for your precious Bible and everything that we can hear and receive from it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, that you have given us truth. And this is the message, that you became a man, God. And there is no salvation outside this truth. And this is why this message is so hidden. This is why this message is so hated. This is why this message is so feared. And we do pray, Lord, that we will be bold in our confession, that we will really believe your word and trust you that you have made such a great provision for us. God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.